Let's commit our time to the Lord as we consider His Word this morning. Father, we want to thank You for the day. Thank You for the reason for the day as well. And Lord, there are many people celebrating Easter and don't even have a clue what it's about. But Lord, we know that this is the time where we celebrate Your resurrection. And Lord, not just that, but the life that it brings and the hope that it brings as well. Thank You that we can come here and worship a living Saviour, and Lord, look forward to that day when we will see Him face to face. And we ask that as we spend this time now, that we'll just stop, consider You, give thanks to You, and allow Your Spirit to minister to us as You see fit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something that most of us have is a scar in one form or another. Some are big scars, some are small scars, some are noticeable, some are hidden, some are old, some are new. But regardless of the size or the age of the scar, most scars have a story to tell. Most can point to a scar on their body and then tell you the circumstances around about how that scar came to be. And I have a couple of scars, but not too many, thankfully. There is one scar that I haven't seen, but I'm quite certain it's there. I was about six. I was digging a hole in the ground with a claw hammer. It wasn't going too well, and so I decided to put extra effort into the hammering until I took a big one back, and it clocked me on the back of my head, and it felt like it went right through into my brains. It hit me so hard. And then just blood started to come just all over. And so I ran to my mother, and by that stage I had blood all over my head. She didn't know if I knocked half my head off or not. And eventually she got it all wiped, and there was some holes in the back of my head. So yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some scars there, but I'm not willing to shave my head to discover them. But that's one scar. I have a little scar on my eye there. I don't know how that came about. But I do have an appendix scar as well. I got that when I was 19. And when I look at that scar, I don't have good memories of that scar with that scar. It doesn't bring good memories at all. I went to the doctor in the morning with stomach pains. He felt around. He said, "I think you're just constipated." And so he sent me home. And then by the afternoon, I was in sheer agony. And so I went back and he says, "Oh, you might have appendicitis. I don't know." So he sent me up to the hospital. So I had to drive up to the hospital, went into emergency. And sadly for me, there was this doctor in training, I think it was, someone who didn't know too much. And he thought he would take the opportunity to discover, use every means possible to work out if I had appendicitis. And if you know any medical procedures, there's some not so nice ways of working out if you've got appendicitis that I never heard of. But and I won't tell you. I won't show you, but I won't tell you them either. But I'm telling you what, it's not nice. And so then he thought, "Yes, I think you may have appendicitis." So then he went to put a drip in me, and he tried a couple of times there and he couldn't get it in. So he tried a couple of times there, couldn't get it in. So he tried a couple of times there, couldn't get it in. Tried a couple of times there. Finally got it in there somehow. I don't know where. After about eight or nine times. And so it left me there. The next morning, I was up in one of the floors. And the surgeon comes in to see if I really do have appendicitis after all I went through. And he just comes and pushes, "Does it hurt there?" And I go, "Ah, yeah, yes, yeah, you got appendicitis." After, that's all he had to do. And so when I see that scar, I don't have nice memories. And I'm sure many of you could look at a particular scar and tell a story. And today we're going to look at the scars on the hands of the Lord Jesus, because those scars tell us a story as well. In fact, they tell us a number of stories. In fact, they tell us very exciting stories. For those who weren't here on Friday, you missed a message where I looked at the hands of the Lord Jesus. And we saw on Friday, first of all, the hands of Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. And we learnt that he has very powerful hands. It was with his hands that he stretched out the heavens and placed the stars and the planets where he wished. He had great and powerful hands in that way. We also saw how he has skillful hands, able to fashion a little child in the womb. We also saw how he has persuasive hands, how he can take in his hands the heart of a king and turn it whithersoever he will to fulfill his plans. We also saw how he has destructive hands, how he can rain judgment upon a nation when they dare to defy him with their wickedness. But as well as that, we saw how God, although had great and powerful hands, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And with those hands of flesh, we saw how Jesus went about doing good, how he healed the sick, and how he comforted the sad, and how he helped those in need. But we also saw that despite those hands, which were so powerful, and when they took upon flesh, went around doing so much good, we as a mankind took those hands and nailed them to a cross. That's what we did with those hands. And we pierced those hands with those nails as we bore them upon the cross. But we do learn that after the resurrection, that Jesus still bore the marks of those nails that went in his hands. Because when he appeared to his disciples in the resurrected state, he said, "Behold my hands and my feet." They could see the nail prints in his hands. And it's those scars that tell us a story. They tell us many stories. And that's what I want us to consider this Easter Sunday as we consider the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those hands and the scars in those hands and the stories they tell. See, the first story that those scars tell us is that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's what we come to remember today. You know, we need to remember that despite Jesus telling the disciples that he would rise again from the dead, they weren't quick to believe that. In fact, the witness of others weren't enough for the disciples to believe that he had risen from the dead. You know, we often think that Thomas is the doubter, but the reality is all the disciples doubted the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in our Bible reading this morning how the women went to the sepulchre, and there they went to bring spices to attend to the body of the Lord Jesus. But when they went there, they saw that the rock was opened, or the stone was rolled away, and they went in and there was no body. And so they were perplexed, they feared. But then two angels appeared to them, and they said those wonderful words, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee?" And we're told that they remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. How it was needful for him to die, but he would also rise again. And understanding this, they rush back with this exciting news to bring comfort to the rest of the disciples. But we read that when they returned, if you turn over to Luke chapter 24, would you? In Luke chapter 24 and verse 9, we read this. And they returned from the sepulchre. Now, I say sepulchre wrong, all right? My wife corrects me every Easter. It's sepulchre, but I usually say sepulchre, all right? But just live with it, all right? I'm sure in the Greek that's how it's meant to be, all right? But they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other mother that was with them, the women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, that's not what you call disciples who are full of faith. This isn't disciples who remembered what Jesus said, how he would rise again from the dead, and with excitement and with expectation, they were waiting for this resurrection. Now, we know that they were gutted by what had just taken place in the days before. They were confused. And they wouldn't even believe the words of these ladies who said that Jesus had risen from the dead and they had exciting news. No, they wouldn't believe. Now, as time went on during the day, we're told that two disciples went on the road to Emmaus and Jesus appeared to them. And once they got to Emmaus, Jesus revealed himself to them. And with excitement, they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples that they had seen the Lord Jesus. And as they were speaking, it says there in verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. So Jesus appears out of nowhere. He stands in the middle of them and he says those comforting words, peace be unto you. But notice how the disciples respond. It doesn't respond, they don't respond like people who are waiting for his resurrection, because it says in verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now that isn't the response of men waiting faithfully for the Lord to fulfill his words, and when he comes, those words bring peace. There was no, yes, Lord, we've been waiting. We knew you would rise from the dead. We've been waiting for you to show yourself. Now sit and tell us all that you want us to know. Now it says that they were terrified and afraid. And it says there in verse 38, and they said unto them, or he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your heart? Jesus asked them, hey, I just appeared and said, peace be unto you, and you're all scared. Why are you so terrified? Why are you so scared? It's me. I've risen from the dead. And then Jesus gives them the evidence that they needed to see, to show them that it truly was him. It says in verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. What evidence did the Lord Jesus show that he had risen from the dead? He showed them the scars in his hands, that it was truly him, and that he had risen from the dead. You see, those scars tell a story. They tell a story that Jesus was crucified on a cross and he was buried, but he also rose again and he lives forevermore. Now we know that Thomas wasn't present at this time when Jesus appeared to the rest of the disciples. And we discover that the witness of his friends wasn't enough for him to believe, because we read, if you turn over to John chapter 20 in verse 24, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And in verse 25 of John 20 it says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print or the scars of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless he saw the scars in his hands, Thomas refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And for 8 days, Thomas had to see the excitement in the rest of the disciples, the boldness in the rest of the disciples, because they had seen the resurrected Christ. Yet he still wouldn't believe. Yet after 8 days, we read there in verse 26, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." This time they weren't all scared. And then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." You see, when Thomas saw those hands, those nailed, scarred hands, he saw the scars, then he believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Those scars, as he looked at the hands of the Lord Jesus, told him a story. Told him a story that his Savior had risen from the dead. That's a wonderful story that they tell. But I do love what Jesus said next. Because in verse 29 it says, "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I haven't seen the scars in Jesus' hands. I haven't been able to touch them. Yet I believe the witnesses who have seen them. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have not seen yet believe." There's a special blessing for us who still believe even though we haven't seen. And you know, that is the gospel that I want to believe. You know, if the gospel of Jesus consisted of Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures and that he was buried and it ended there, that would be a dead faith. What a sad faith to follow a dead Savior. But those prints, those scars in the hands of the Lord Jesus tell me a story that he rose from the dead. And that, yes, he didn't just die for my sins. He wasn't just buried for my sins, but he rose again for my justification. And I serve a risen Savior. Those scars tell a wonderful story of his resurrection. But that's not the only story they tell us. You know, the scars in the hands of the Lord Jesus also tell us that he now brings salvation. And as the resurrected Savior, Jesus has now made it possible to be saved. We can enjoy forgiveness. We no longer have to be the enemies of God, but we can have fellowship with him. And Christ seeks sinners to save. You know, when I consider the scars in the Savior's hand, I think of those nailed, scarred hands knocking upon the door of the heart of each individual he seeks to save. You know, Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You know, Jesus seeks sinners. And with those nailed, scarred hands, he knocks upon the heart of the door of their heart, asking if he could come in and sup with them, cleanse them, and make them one of his own. He stands at the door and knocks. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen those doors with little peepholes so you can see who's knocking at your door. That's mostly in cities you have them. But someone knocks on the door and you can peek through the hole and you can see who they are and if you want to actually open the door to them or not. Well, the Lord's given us a little peephole for the door of our heart. He's allowed us to see who knocks upon that door of our heart. And if anyone feels the knocking of our Savior, of the Savior upon their heart, knocking and asking if he may come in and sup with them and cleanse them, all you have to do is look through that little peephole and see who is knocking and look at his hands. And those nailed scars hands tell the story of who's knocking. And it tells you that it is worth opening up to him. You see, those nailed scarred hands tell us that he died on a cross for you and he rose from the dead, and he seeks to save you. As Peter says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God." Jesus has already suffered on that cross for our sins, and he did it so he may bring us to God. Those scars tell a story of how now we can be saved. But they also tell us another story. They tell us how, as saved, we can be secure in him. You know, those nailed scars, scarred hands bring great security to the believer. You know, one of the most wonderful things of knowing that our Savior has all-powerful hands is the security it brings. If he can stretch out the heavens with his hands, if he can rain down judgment upon the wicked with his hands, if he can persuade the most evil of kings to do his will with those hands, well then we can be sure that he has very powerful hands. And so when Jesus makes a promise like he does in John chapter 10, it means everything. Because there he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand," he says. He says, when I save you, you're in my hands, you're my sheep, I give you eternal life, and no one is ever going to pluck you out of my hand. Now, when that's the all-powering, powerful God telling us that, that brings a lot of security. If you have to rely on my hands for your security, you're in a lot of trouble. But you are relying on those nailed, pierced hands to bring that security. Now, there's one other interesting thing I believe is related to this. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 59. This is a promise that God gave to Israel. And I believe there's a parallel for us in the New Testament. The Lord is trying to show his people that he has not forgotten them. They were accusing the Lord of forgetting them. And he is trying to show them that he has not forgotten them and he will never forget them. And he says in Isaiah 49 verse 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she could not have compassion on the son of her womb?" That's Isaiah 49:15. Is it? Did I? You're just not listening properly. Isaiah 49, verse 15. "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Now that's almost impossible, isn't it, for a mother with a child giving suck and she's nursing that child, to forget about that child is near impossible. But the Lord says, "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." But then he goes on and says in verse 16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Isn't that ironic? How the Lord trying to show them how important Israel is to them, that he says, "I'll never forget you. I have engraven you in the palms of my hands, so that every time I look at my hands, I see you, Israel. It is impossible for me to forget you." And I believe that the scars in the Lord Jesus' hands tells him a story as well. He can't forget us. We are engraven in his hands. When he looks upon his hands in the heavens, it tells him a story of how much he loves us and how he gave everything to purchase us and how precious we are in his sight. Don't ever think that Jesus forgets you. He can't. You are engraven in his hands. Now, I'm only assuming, but I would presume that that every time he looks upon the scars of his hands, he can see the each person that he ever bought with those hands, with the blood that was shed. You know, those scars tell me I'm secure in those hands. If he was willing to die and allow his hands to be pierced for me, as I am in his hands secure, he will never let anything happen to me. Those nailed, scarred hands bring security. But they tell me one more story as well. They tell me of his return. You know, the first time when he came and God became flesh and dwelt among us, he went around using his hands to do good. But he was that meek Savior. And he allowed us to take those hands and nail them on a cross. But those nailed, scarred hands are going to return again, we're told. But this time, they will come with great might and power. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1, would you please? In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, we read this. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." You know, those scars on the hands of the Lord Jesus tell me another story. They tell me of his return, that he will come back one day, and the Lord Jesus will begin to reign over this world, and he will set up his kingdom as the Almighty One. And the nations who fought against him and his people, he will destroy. And the nation of Israel will behold him and realize that they actually crucified their Messiah. And they will receive him as their Savior. And he will set up his kingdom and reign over them. How do I know that? Well, it was prophesied well before he even came the first time. Let me read Zechariah 12, verse 9 to you. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." This is Jesus talking here. Jesus will punish the godless nations of the world who have rejected him. But then he says in verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and listen to this, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." This is the future. "And they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." The children of Israel will realize that day when Jesus comes again and saves them from the armies that came up, were coming up against him, that they actually crucified their Messiah the first time he came. But this time when they see the one in whom they pierced, they will mourn, it says. Mourn for what they did to him and repent and receive him as their Savior. And so when I think of the scars in the hands of my Savior, I'm also reminded of how he's going to come back. He's going to come back to this earth, the earth that rejected him. And this time, at his return, he will receive all power, he will receive all glory and worship from everybody. And so those scars of Jesus have many stories to tell us, wonderful stories. Usually scars tell us bad stories. You know, there's the scars of a terrible accident. There's the scars of a disease. There's scars of a crime committed against us. Usually scars have bad memories. And although the scars in the palms of the Lord Jesus started with a sad story, how he was crucified, it also has very many wonderful stories. The story of how Jesus rose from the dead. The story of how Jesus seeks the lost and he knocks upon the heart of the lost sinner. The story of security as he keeps us safe in those nailed, pierced hands. And the story of his return, when he makes right all the wrongs in this world and sets up his kingdom and reigns over us. You know, not many scars are what we call beautiful. But these scars are beautiful. And they have some wonderful stories to tell. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you at this very moment in the heavens, Jesus still bears those marks within his hands and his feet and his side of what he did for us. Thank you for the stories they tell. And then one day, Lord, we can be like Thomas and we can see those scars and touch them and see our Savior face to face. What a wonderful Savior you are, and we thank you that we can worship you this day. Amen.